of women. Beloved children of God, we come together today in order to reflect on a very important issue in the life of the church. The challenge of dismantling a system that hinders the thriving of all of Christ's body, specifically those that are led by women. The church is called to reflect the kingdom of God, where there's no hierarchy that's based on gender, status, background. As an Anglican priest, I know all too well. I see it in all aspects of the Anglican ministry, where women who make up such a large percentage of all of the congregations are relegated to positions of submission that are clearly beneath them. The system of patriarchy in the Anglican Church is so bad that a woman can't even be granted the title of a lay reader. And the primary responsibility of a lay reader is to do what? It's to lead the service. Even if it's modified and there are things that only a priest can do, they can't do it. And that's among other responsibilities. The Anglican Church is so afraid of women being in positions of authority that they stifle and squash it before it's even had a chance to develop, which is ultimately to the whole church's loss. As we sit together in the presence of God, our Creator, we need to ask ourselves, how can the church become a place where all people, regardless of gender, are treated with dignity and respect? How can we, as the body of Christ, work to dismantle the system that has oppressed women and silenced their voices within the church? I believe that this is a necessary conversation that needs to be addressed not tomorrow, but today. I want to address three issues that I believe are a good starting point for leveling the playing field as we address some of the real-world problems of women leadership that the Anglican Church has faced and will continue to face. The first issue is that the female presence in the church history has been minimized. Many women in church history have had their contributions overlooked or minimized entirely, if for no other reason than because of their gender. Women such as Clara of Assisi, Hilda of Whitby, and Teresa of Avila were instrumental in shaping Christian thought and practice through their lifestyles and the opportunities that they made available to other people who were like-minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 tells us that God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. See, if we ignore the contributions that women made to the church, we're diminishing the fullness of the body of Christ. I believe that in order to resolve this issue, we must be willing to acknowledge and celebrate the contributions of female theologians, allowing their voices to inspire and guide us right here and right now. Acknowledging and teaching about the women who have shaped our faith provides a fuller picture of God's work throughout all of history. The second issue is that leadership opportunities have been limited to the women in the church. And a noticeable issue that's facing the women in the church today are the fact that they're not really in leadership roles. More often than not, women are excluded from serving in key positions of ministry, whether as priests, pastors, deacons, or lay readers, simply because of their gender. This has created an environment where women's gifts and callings go unrecognized, undervalued, and definitely underutilized. How they say, three strikes and you're out. This mindset is rooted in historical interpretations of scriptures. But one thing's for certain and two things for sure. It's a view that doesn't align with the teachings of Christ. As I said before, in Galatians 3:28, Paul tells us that we're all one in Christ Jesus. Is Jesus In Jesus Christ, there's no division that's based upon gender. All believers are called to serve and lead in the various positions. To resolve this issue, I believe that the church must first acknowledge and embrace the fact that women, just like men, are called and gifted to lead in ministry. This can begin with offering training, but not just training, theological training and mentorship for women who feel called to the ministry. We need to focus on the gifts and callings that God has placed in each individual and not discriminate based upon gender. Pastoral leaders should model inclusion by actively inviting and encouraging women into leadership roles, whether it's preaching, teaching, administration, or pastoral care. As we delve into the early church, we see that women were not only active participants, but also leaders. In Acts 18 and 26, we learn about Priscilla, who along with her husband Aquila instructed Apollos. And Apollos was described in the scriptures as being gifted. He was a teacher. He was a leader. Priscilla's role in teaching and leading was not a miracle, and it wasn't a rarity. She was one of many, many women involved with the spreading of the gospel. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, we read about Phoebe, who was a deacon in the church of Cenchrea. Paul praised this young lady for her service and for her leadership, insisting that the congregation support her and her ministry. These passages show that women played significant roles in the church, whether as leaders, teachers, or co-workers in ministry. They were integral members who were empowered by the Holy Spirit and called to do what? They were called to lead. They were called to serve. Over time, patriarchal systems have minimized these early examples, limiting women's voices and leadership. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The church must return to its roots and honor, yes, I said it, they must honor the contributions and leadership of women. The third and final issue is they're not empowering women in leadership. Empowering women in leadership is not just about giving them a voice. It's about giving them the authority to make decisions and shape the direction of the church. We see in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 to 4, that the early church appointed deacons in order to serve the congregation. This decision was made to ensure that the ministry of the word would continue while also addressing the needs of the community. Women must be allowed to serve in all areas of ministry, not only in supporting roles, but also in actual decision-making ones. The church needs to create structures that allow women to be active members of its decision-making bodies. This requires that women be represented in leadership also, and on all levels of faith, from the grassroots levels of the local parishes and churches to positions on the executive boards within the national church. They deserve it. They've earned it. The church must foster a culture of respect, one in which men and women can work together as equals in the service of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 instructs us to be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. This mutual submission is the foundation that is necessary for a healthy and vibrant church, where all members, regardless of their gender, are honored, respected, and valued. Beloved, for us as the body of Christ, in order to move forward, it's clear that the church must take some bold, brave, daring, and adventurous steps to dismantle the patriarchal system that's in place and uplift women to roles of leadership. By turning to Scripture, recognizing the value of both men and women in God's eyes, and addressing some of the real world issues such as a whitewashed history, exclusion from leadership, and a lack of empowerment, we can create a church that reflects what the kingdom of God really is. A kingdom where we're all called to serve and lead with dignity, equality, and the most powerful thing of all, love. Amen.
Amen.